B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
So let's talk to the man who covers the Phils for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Matt Breen. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Matty.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Well, tell me what kind of team we got here. As I look at it, I go, okay, it's almost 30 games. 30 games, I can get a read on what a team is. And at 30 games, I go, this is a mediocre team. Now, am I getting a bad read on this? Do they have a lot of room for improvement here?
You always have room for improvement, but I think it's fair what you just said, that it's a mediocre team. And we can go back to what we talked about in February or March, and it was, you know, kind of the expectations were, the way we talked was that this was a, you know, it wasn't really a playoff team. It wasn't a last place team either. It was a team that's going to kind of hover around right outside that playoff picture. And I just think that's where it seems like it's going right now. It doesn't, and I know they won last night, but it doesn't feel like they won. It's just been a weird season. And I think at some point, you know, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah. So I don't know what can be done. I assume Dombrowski does the same thing, but the center field hole has gone to left field as well. And, you know, we've all liked Andrew McCutchen, but I just don't see that there's going to be any kind of significant rebound. So, would they be hell-bent to improve this team to actually contend in a mediocre division, or do they think they can do that now?
Yeah, that's the thing, that this division was supposed to be, you know, the best division in baseball, and right now it's the worst division in baseball, so it's wide open for a team to get hot. But usually you get hot with really good starting pitching, and besides Vince Velasquez last night, the Phillies haven't gotten much out of their fourth and fifth starter. So it's tough to envision them getting hot without, you know, more from their fourth and fifth starter. And the left field problem is that when McCutchen signed this 3-year contract, it was year three was already supposed to be a problem, because it was a long-term deal for a veteran player that was already seeming to be on the downside of his career. You were paying a premium to get him for year one and two. And they didn't get much out of year one because he tore his ACL. That year two was a truncated season. So year three, you know, the expectations were almost unfair, because if you go back to when they signed him, you already knew this was going to be a down season, and now that's what you're getting. So you're not getting much out of left field. You're not getting anything out of center field. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do when Gene Segura comes back, probably as soon as this weekend. And then Nick Maton, does he play center field? Because, you know, none of those guys have, including Odubel Herrera, have won that job.
I can't believe they're even considering this Maton thing, the center field. I mean, that reeks of such a desperation, just going down the line and having these inferior guys try to hold down that position. And now they're going to take this kid who really doesn't even know how to play yet. I know he's done a good job, but like 0-for-3 last night, I think that he's going to hit that wall where teams adjust, and they're going to throw him in center field. Is that realistic?
I mean, what's the track record of recent Phillies history of moving a second baseman to play center field? It doesn't work, right?
This kid is so green, and I think they're going to just ruin him.
Yeah, and that's the fear. But then, you know, the flip side of it as well, if Segura, like, Gene Segura is the everyday second baseman. Didier Gregorius is going to play at shortstop. So if you want Nick Maton in the lineup, do you want him in the lineup, or do you want him on the bench? So,
well, I want him in AAA, and I want him to make a deal for a center fielder, but that's just
there
me.
There you go. I mean,
that's what I would do.
Now you're talking, Mike.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I want to ask you about Alec Bohm all of a sudden, because it hasn't been discussed that much, but he looks screwed up to me a little bit. What's going on with him?
Yeah, I thought Saturday night he hits that home run, and maybe that's going to be the game he needed to turn it around. And then, you know, last night and Sunday, he's right back to being lost. So it's like, you want to give him the benefit of the doubt just because of how good he looked as a rookie last year. So I know it's been a month, but it doesn't look good. Way too many strikeouts, which is, you know, definitely a concern. But, I mean, he's your third baseman. You kind of have to live with him and hope that he snaps out of this. We've seen, like, thinking back to, you know, Hoskins going through big slumps and pulling himself out of it. So you kind of hope Alec Bohm can do the same thing. And maybe this is a growing pain of being a young major leaguer. He only was here for half of a 60-game season last year. So now pitchers are adjusting to him. He's got to learn to adjust to them. And yeah, I think you have to give him more than a month just because of that you know the talent is there.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let me ask you this question, because he's been pretty untouchable. But the manager, I don't know whether this manager has distinguished himself as doing anything to make this a better team. Is that an unfair assessment?
Well, I don't want to say he's untouchable, because he's a draft pick from the previous regime. So I think, you know, almost. It's going to be interesting to see when Dave Dombrowski really puts his hands on this team, who's untouchable. You know, who does he see from that? He's not attached to any of these guys. So I'm really curious to see, you know, when we get to this summer, when we get to this offseason, to see, you know, who does he deem as an untouchable? Because obviously Matt Klentak is, you know, he's attached to Alec Boehm. He's attached to Spencer Howard. He's attached to Mickey Moniak, but these aren't Dave Dombrowski's guys, so I'm not going to say he's not an untouchable. I just don't know that, as I would have known that, you know, a year ago.
So the manager is included in that assessment.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm talking about Girardi.
Yeah, I mean he's the best option to play third base right now. So you want to play Brad Miller there, but
I'm talking about, has Girardi done a good job as a manager? Is the question? We lost communication there. Has Girardi?
It's a great question, and I will say this: that in St. Louis, when he had Aaron Nola walk the eight hole hitter to get to the nine hole, which is a pinch hitter, and we know what happened. He said he did that because he looked at the numbers in the dugout, and Nola had great success against the guy coming up as a pinch hitter. It reminded me of a decision that Gabe Kapler would have made. So I know, very analytically driven, and, you know, a controversial call blows the game on that decision, and it wasn't going with your gut. It was leaning more on the analytics. And Gabe didn't get away with that, because I don't think Gabe sold it well. You know, he didn't handle the press conferences well. He didn't handle the way he would explain it would not have went over well, where Joe is a better, you know, explainer of his decisions, even though a lot of these decisions, in-game managing decisions, there are very similar. And I think Joe gets a pass because of the way he sells it, and also his experience that, you know, he does have some leeway from, you know, being the Yankees manager for 10 years, winning a World Series, and then, you know, his playing career, obviously everybody knew about that, so...
I agree. I mean, he hasn't been very innovative, even in like putting a lineup together where, you know, okay, the left field leadoff guy is getting a day off, so his replacement, a 36-year-old guy, is the leadoff. Like, he manages by rote with not a lot of innovation, in my view, but I guess that he does deserve some clout.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're saying. But, I mean, imagine if Gabe Kapler did that at Busch Stadium. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, no, I hear you. I've mentioned that many times, that we would be killing Gabe Kapler for some...
It was over by the next day.
Yeah. All right, last thing on... actually, a couple things. The Odubel Herrera thing is not working. They're booing him. He seems to be totally not engaged at all. Will this end, you think? Will he go back down?
Yeah, he's going to get a chance to play, and we've seen so far is that it doesn't look good. And to his defense, he hasn't seen major league pitching in 2 years, but you can't keep rolling him out there if it's not going to work. And then right now it's not working. Once there's a move to be made, I would think he's, you know, the guy that's on the bubble to be sent back down. And he's not running away with the everyday job. He's not even starting tonight. Brad Miller starting over him against the left-handed pitcher. So it's just not, I mean, against the right-handed pitcher, I'm sorry. But I don't see him as a long-term solution. I think it's got to come from outside at this point.
All right. And also the update on the McCutcheon's eyes. He's in the lineup tonight. Did we learn anything with the checkup?
Yeah, he's in the lineup tonight, and he came off the bench last night and played the outfield. So Girardi said it was like a medical privacy thing today that he couldn't answer if he, you know, what exactly he's doing about his eyesight, but he seemed to allude that he's doing something about it. So I don't know. He said McCutcheon would explain it when, you know, when we talked to McCutcheon.
But, yeah. Okay.
I mean, he said it the other day. He had trouble seeing the ball, so I'm sure there's something going on there.
Yeah. All right. Matt, always a pleasure, man. We will talk to you afterward. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Take
Matt Breen, Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.